When asked about love, a young child responded this way. When someone loves you, they say your name different. And you know your name is safe in their mouth. You know your name is safe in their mouth. What a wonderful expression of love. When Jesus speaks of love, He first establishes a foundation. He establishes a framework and a source. Abide in me, He says. Abide in me. First and foremost, continue in me, stay in me, reside in me. It's what it means to be part of the body of Christ. Abide in me. And love comes through the relationship that we have with Jesus. What it truly means to love and to be able to love in the ways in which Jesus did comes from Jesus alone. And the relationship that we have with Him. Abide in me. Our love is a product of the relationship that we have with Jesus. When our scriptures speak of love, it speaks of a principle by which we live. It is a matter of the will. It is decisions that we make. And we can only love in the ways in which Jesus speaks of it through a relationship with Him. And by this relationship, then, we can conquer our natural inclinations, which are bitterness and causing injury and disliking others. But in the relationship that we have with Jesus, our focus is on benevolence and goodwill. Love is about forgiveness, about reconciliation, and about restoration. About making things new. About bringing healing. One of the ways in which I read love described was to have a quiet understanding. A mutual confidence. Love is sharing and forgiving. Love settles for less than perfection. And love makes allowances for human weakness. Love can overcome then all those things that come up in our relationships with one another. All the irritations and the problems and the disappointments. Love doesn't brood over the past. Is content with the present. And carries a hope for the future. Those are the principles by which we are to live. And our love for one another. And it begins with our abiding in Jesus. And that love then extends to our families, of course, and to our friends, but yet far beyond that, because it also extends to the stranger and those we do not know. Jesus tells His disciples that as He establishes this relationship, I choose you. I choose you to be a part of a relationship with me. And by having this relationship, then, you become my friends and become my partners in this ministry, in this endeavor, in this proclamation of love. Today we celebrate mothers. We celebrate the relationships that are often described as the ways in which I have just spoken. And I share with you this poem by an author that is unknown that maybe reflects a little bit of what it means to love. As it says, I saw a young mother with eyes full of laughter and two little shadows who came following after. Wherever she moved, they were always right there, holding on to her skirt, hanging on to her chair. Before her, behind her, they were an adhesive pair. Don't you ever get weary as day after day your two little tag-alongs get in your way? She smiled as she shook her pretty young head, and I'll always remember the words that she said. It's good to have shadows that run when you run, that laugh when you're happy and hum when you hum. For you only have shadows when your life is filled with sun. And so we live in the brightness and the joy of relationships, in which love is that which nurtures those relationships and carries us through. And we recognize the importance of relationships such as those as mothers. How could we ever get by without their instructions and their guidance and their direction and all that they have shared in order to prepare us for the lives in which we live? We read about Rachel, one such young mother, who was walking with Jackie, her four-year-old daughter. And Jackie picked something off the ground, like young children often do, and started to put it in her mouth. Rachel told her not to do that. Jackie's reply was, "Why, Mommy?" "Because it's been lying outside and is dirty and probably has germs." At this point, Jackie looked at her mother in absolute admiration and asked, "Why, Mom, how do you know stuff like that?" Rachel thought, and then added quickly, "Why, everyone knows this stuff. It's on the mommy test. You have to know it or they don't let you be a mommy," she finished. "Oh, really?" answered Jackie with a slightly confused expression. And so mother and daughter continued to stroll along in silence for a couple more minutes. Jackie pondered over this new information, this new discovery. And then Jackie's face beamed with a realization. "I get it," she said. "Then if you flunk the test, you have to be the daddy." But we appreciate the shaping and the guidance of mothers, the relationships that we have. "Go and bear fruit," Jesus says. The relationship does not stop with Him, but rather we are to go and establish other relationships. And what better way to bear fruit than in the lives of our children, and preparing them and nurturing them and strengthening them for the lives that are ahead of them. Go and bear fruit. A mother shared these reflections of what it meant to prepare her children for their lives ahead of them. What it meant, in a ways, to raise them up so that they would be good fruit. And she reflected how the baby is teething and the children are fighting. How a husband calls and says to go ahead and eat dinner without him. One of these days, she said, I'll shout, why don't you grow up and act your age? And one of these days, they will. Or I will say, you guys get outside and find yourselves something to do and don't slam the door. And one of these days, they won't. The mother reflected how she would straighten up their rooms, neat and tidy. Bedspreads and sheets tucked in smooth on beds. Toys displayed on shelves. Hangers and clothes in the closet. And saying out loud, now I want it to stay this way. And someday it will. She thinks about how preparing a perfect dinner with a salad that hasn't been picked to death and a cake with no finger marks on it and saying, now here's a meal fit for company, and eating it without them. The mother reflects on the times when you will say, I want complete privacy on the phone, no dancing around, no pantomimes, no demolition crews. Silence, do you hear? And one day she'll have it. No more plastic tablecloths stained with spaghetti. No more anxious nights with ill little ones. No more dandelion bouquets. No more iron-on patches. No more knotted shoestrings. No need for a babysitter on New Year's Eve. A time of washing clothes only once a week. No parent-teacher meetings, carpools, blaring music. No more Christmas presents made out of toothpicks and paste. No more wet oatmeal kisses. No more tooth fairy giggles in the dark or knees to heal. She hears the sound of her own voice crying out, why don't you grow up? And she thinks of her children and the relationship and the love, and then in the silence, hearing the voice say, I did.